Hi guys, welcome back to Legal Avenue Podcast with Lola OJ and Mandy. And before we get into the episode, or rather what we have to discuss today, we just want to say a big thank you to our audience and our listeners out there. Thanks so much for the love. And please double it up, like keep sharing our content, keep telling people about us, keep the numbers going up. So coming to you from sunny side of Victoria Island in Lagos is myself, Mandy, and I'm in the studio with my beautiful co-host, Lola. Why are you rolling your eyes?
You're so kind, Mandy. Like, beautiful coast, like from where to where. But hi, guys. Yes, we are here again for another episode of the Legal Avenue Podcast. And I'm just going to reiterate what Mandy has said. Thanks for showing us love. And double up 2020, double, double. Everything at double, double. So make sure you show us the love. Thank you.
All right, guys. So today we're going to be discussing something very, very important. So you know you're on Legal Avenue Podcast, we're only always telling you about what you need to know about law and always why you need a lawyer in your life. But today we're not going to be doing that ourselves. We have someone in the studio with us who'll be telling us the importance of lawyers in her life as a creative. And this is no other person but the lady with a voice of honey and I'll say gold. Gold is expensive, right?
Yeah.
Honey and gold. And she is TV presenter, actor and producer Stephanie Coker.
But you didn't say her. Excuse me, you didn't say her full name, please. My brother must.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, because legally.
Enter. Yeah.
Legally, you know, that's my name.
So, Steph, give us your full name. Go on.
Okay. Hi, guys. It's Stephanie Coker at Dirinokun.
There we go. My brother must get his name in there.
You know, because we're talking about legal stuff, right? It's going to be, I legally married her.
So, Stephanie, just to get into what we're discussing briefly, like to enter it as Lola said, softly.
Soft life.
That's what we're all about. Okay. So tell us briefly about how you got into the creative industry, your journey so far, the late nights, the smiles, the tears, everything. We want to know briefly.
Are you sure you have enough time on it?
That's what I said, briefly.
Yeah, okay, briefly. Okay, briefly being the key word because it's a very long story.
Yeah.
But let's just fast forward. A short version is that I just really loved presenting and journalism, and I've loved it for a long time, actually, since I was in secondary school. And I started off by going on the internet and searching for roles and auditions. And I went to loads of auditions. I had one that I'll never forget, actually, with the BBC. And that's when I realized, oh, I'm actually good. For them to get me to this stage of the interview, oh my goodness, I have something here. So then I decided to move from the UK to Nigeria. And yeah, that was full of tears and joy and all sorts of madness.
Why did you start off with
tears? Because it was real tears. So many things, from having to give last man my number to get out of problem, so many different things. Like, yeah, anyways. But I got into presenting here. I started off on radio and then MTV, and I went on to also act as well, and shows like Tinsel, Hustle. I've been in movies, King of Boys 2, Fate of Alakara, and and I'm also a producer. I just produced my first documentary, which we're
whoop, whoop!
Excited about that. And I also have a children's book. I guess I'm a children's author. That's just a bit about me. And I got into the industry before Instagram, I would say, just before Instagram. So that's when people were really out here, like, not that they're not hustling now, but the hustle was a bit different. We were out those late nights, industry night, networking, connecting with people. I would say it was much more fun back then, but that's how I got into it. A lot of auditions and tears and cars breaking down and a few rats. Yes,
definitely. No, just not go there. Rats,
but we'll leave that for another day.
That is definitely a story
for another day. I'm very interested in that story.
So you sound well seasoned. I think sometimes, you know, we tend to forget how much we've done, but as you've just listed just even some of the things you've done, you can see that, you know, you've been here and you've been putting in that work. Yeah. So when did you know that you needed a lawyer?
I think it's when I joined MTV, because I needed someone to, because they gave me a contract and I was like, oh, what am I supposed to do with this? And I was like, okay, well then I had a lawyer then, a lawyer friend who, she was freelance. So she looked at my contract, and then I think I also wanted to register a business, and I was like, okay, how do I do this? So yeah, I was like, okay, you need a lawyer to do a CAC. But then when I really, really was like, okay, I need a lawyer, is when I signed a big contract with The Voice. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is like a big gig, you know. Let's make sure everything is, you know, checked off. I'm gonna get myself in trouble. Yeah, so that was when I decided, okay, I need a lawyer.
So when you're choosing a lawyer at that stage, are you particular about getting an intellectual property or entitlement lawyer, or you're looking for a lawyer?
So this was in, I think, 2016. And when I say I got myself a lawyer, I still got like a freelance lawyer. Like, my lawyer that's at my everyday beck and call. It was literally like a freelance lawyer that I would still pay for this, and then that's it, you know. There wasn't like a real relationship. So I wouldn't say I had a lawyer back then, or I'm literally just about to sign with a real lawyer. A lawyer that's going to be on a retainership anyway, yeah.
And now you're about to go for that.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a proper entitlement lawyer.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes, and a proper, an entertainment lawyer.
So can you tell us about any time that you wish that, oh my God, I consulted a lawyer before doing this, maybe taking a particular step or getting into something or getting out of something?
Do you know, I have some, but I'm not sure if I'm at liberty to talk about those ones.
Don't mention the names. Okay. Just give us the scenario.
No, because
it will definitely help people out there in your position.
I think there was a gig that I had that was, so I had already signed up for a gig, but then this other gig came about and I was like, okay, I'll do it. But then when I told this new gig about the gig that I had already booked, they were like, you can't do it. And I was like, but they booked me before you. So what am I supposed to do? Like, just go and tell them no? So then I was at that time I was very flustered. It was a really crazy couple of weeks for me because I was like, but I really want to do this other gig and this gig. But, you know, it's just, it's not really conflicting, but I can understand how it's conflicting. So I had to speak to an entertainment lawyer. And the person was like, well, there's kind of, you know, because the contract that they had given me, these people that came along after the first one, was a bit crazy because they kind of didn't want me to work for a couple months, like 6 months, on anything that was similar to that show. And I was like, that's like taking food off my table. How am I supposed to do that, you know? So it was just like, okay. But in the end, I ended up doing both gigs. I don't know what the hell. I mean, I've done them, you know. It is what it is. And to be honest, they were different. And it's not like anybody's going to be like, oh, that was similar to that. No.
Okay, so this is just in relation to what you've said. So when you signed the second gig, yeah, did you consult a lawyer before you had signed that gig?
Yes, that's where the issue was. I didn't.
Okay, because this is exactly because that lawyer, the first question they may have asked you is, do you have any existing agreements, any clauses, anything that anyone could hold you by? And this, again, guys, when we talk on the show, we're not just talking, you know, from our derrieres. When we say you need to get yourself a lawyer, it's because of situations like that. Like, an ordinary person or a creative, they just want to work. They want to book gigs. Yeah. So whenever they come along, you just want to do
that. And what happened that time is, it's usually I would actually send it off to a lawyer, but what happened was, like, it was such a short time frame where it was like I had like a lot of pressure. I was being pressured, so it was like, oh, you know, now, and it was like, oh my goodness, like, what am I supposed to do? Who's gonna do this now? But if I had had a lawyer at that point on a retainer, I don't think that would have been the case, because they would obviously know that I'm gonna have things flying their way all the time. So that's why now I don't play those kind of games.
Now talk to Steph different.
It talked to me different, and I'll tell you everything I have lined up. But yeah, no, that was like, oh, okay, yeah, this can never happen again, because I don't want to be put in that kind of situation, because I know that truthfully what I've done is not wrong. But the fact that, you know, they did give me this contract and I did sign it, it kind of makes me kind of liable to their clauses and
depending.
That's where the gray area was, and that's why I should have had a lawyer present to actually really read it thoroughly. I had someone look at it, but they obviously didn't go in depth, and the person wasn't an entertainment lawyer, so I was just like, okay, whatever. So the person was like, yeah, I mean, it's fine, it's just, yeah, but they didn't ask the right questions, I would say. So
you say you're about to sign a retainer. We're not going to ask you who. We're not going to ask the sure numbers.
They're good, though. They're good.
I'm sure you can definitely
but a lot of people have this notion that lawyers are expensive.
So what do you think about that? Is it worth it no matter how expensive it comes across? Or,
you know, expense is relative, but the thing about it is, I think even people that don't see it as expensive, they kind of just feel like, well, it's not a necessity until something happens. That's the problem. So they know that they need it, but they just like, well, I don't need it right now. And there's always when something happens and they're like, oh, I should have just done that since, because if I had, then this wouldn't be happening. Now I need it. So it's like, put the priority, like, okay, is this a priority? And it definitely is. It's always a priority, especially if you're in the entertainment industry. You should definitely have someone that you can talk to and show your contracts and other things on standby, not when it, you know, something hits the fan, you know, like running helter skelter looking for a great lawyer.
So how did you go about choosing the right entertainment lawyer or firm for you? And what advice, like, let's say another, you know, TV presenter or actress or actor, they want to find a lawyer. How did you find the right lawyer for you?
I actually did a lot of research. I asked people, and then also my manager, she's quite in the know of who is good and who, you know, knows how to get things done. So that's how I it was referral. And I also looked up the people that the person had worked with. So it was like, okay, yeah, this is like definitely the only person that I can work with. And also the fact, the relationship, you know, how, when you talk to these people, like, how relatable are they? Because you don't want a lawyer that is just, not everybody understands law. You know, we didn't all read law. You need someone that's going to break it down and also have your time. That's another important thing. You know, celebrities and people in the entertainment industry, they love, you know, we don't have that many people that we have in our circle. So if you're in our circle, we want it to be like, okay, I trust you and this is my person, you're gonna ride for me. So you have to have that rapport and feel that's energy. Yeah, so that's how I was able to pick.
Okay, so what would you say is the most important thing? Because let's be honest, like with every profession, you have your most expensive, which normally the most, you know, credible or who built a brand or whatever, and then you have maybe those that are up and coming, that they could just be as good, but you know, they're still coming up. So what's the most important things that you looked for when you were looking to hire a lawyer?
I would say experience, definitely. When I was looking to hire a lawyer, experience, someone experienced, and also credible, because your reputation, like, what have you done with other people? And also the fact that how long have you even, yeah, experienced, so how long have you been doing this for? And I mean, you know, if somebody's expensive, you kind of do connote that, you know, with, okay, they must be good to a degree, you know, there's levels to this. So if you're charging peanuts, you know, if you get the value, you get what you pay for. So if somebody is relatively cheap, I would be worried that, oh, okay, like, you're super cheap, like, I don't know how great of a job you're gonna do. Like, just being honest, it's like when you buy a product, right?
Yeah.
If you buy something that's 5 naira and something that's 5,000 naira, I mean, it could be the same, but the chances are they're probably not. Yeah, expectations would be limited when you know that, okay, it's just 5 naira I paid. So you'd be expecting more. So the person would also want to deliver. That's another thing. If you pay a lot for something, you're expecting value, and the person offering the service probably knows that, okay, I charge this amount, so I can't say, I'm unavailable. I'm kind of going to have to be available almost 24/7.
All right. I think one final question we have, which is, if you're to advise your younger self, which also is like every other creative entering the industry.
Okay.
Yeah. If you advise your younger self based on the knowledge you have now through experience when dealing with paperwork and contracts and probably not getting lawyer at the right time, what would that advice be?
You know, so when you're in this type of industry and you're creative, all you care about, what you're passionate about, is your talent and people seeing your talent and you just doing what you love to do. You're not really, you don't think about the fact that a big company might be hiring you, and some of the things that they might want you to do might be out of the scope of your work. So, for example, I've worked with different networks, and some people, they kind of make it seem like, okay, you're the face of the brand, right? But they also don't want to pay you like you're the face of the brand. So if you have a lawyer, you're able to charge what you are owed, like what you're due. You need to know your worth and your equity as well. And I think if I had a lawyer at that point, I would be able to say no, because it was just me talking, you know, like, no, like, you can't use me for this and use me for that, and then I'm not getting paid. There was actually an instance where I did a job for a global sports brand, yeah, and I didn't get paid. and nor did the other presenter. We didn't get paid, but it was because, oh, we're under that company, so it's like part of our work. But really and truly, we should have gotten paid for it. But the type of contract we probably signed was just like, you know, okay, anything that we do under this network or anything they tell us to do, we kind of have to do it, which is now not the case anyway. That was years ago, but it's now not the case now because people know that, okay, you have a presenter or TV host or actor on this thing, doesn't mean that they're now going to endorse your products or endorse the products that have paid you. Do you understand what I mean? So that's very important now. People are also influencers. So as much as I'm a TV presenter, I'm an influencer. So now you can't tell me to come. You guys laughing because I'm like, sorry, I'm not an influencer. Sorry, this is a slight inside
joke.
No, let me quickly break it down.
I've not said anything. Like, no, it's just that talking. I want to clarify.
So sometimes, you know, people, yes, a lot of us are influencers. Nothing wrong with being an influencer. But some of us, like, we actually study certain things and we'd like to be acknowledged for it. So if you're an actor, I'm sure you'd want to be, you know, referred to as an actor as opposed to, oh, you're an influencer first. No, that's secondary to what I do. So no, that's
the inside joke.
So yeah, so now we're influencers as well. We are being paid for it. So a network can't just say, oh, Stephanie, come and stand next to this kind of soft drink and promote it for us because you work for us. No, I can't do that because how do you know I don't have something with another soft drink company? And that's just where we're at now. And it's great. But the advice I definitely give it to creatives getting into the industry is to definitely know how much you're worth, get a lawyer, and make sure you read your contracts with your lawyer so you don't go and sell your soul. That's the thing. That happens a lot.
So you say something that shows that you know one or two things about law. Do you think it's important? I know I said last space. I think I said last space. But do you think it's important for creatives to, at least to an extent, understand the dynamics, little things about law within their industry? For example, like you said, you're already maybe representing a soft drink brand. You cannot just do this. There mm-hmm. could be conflict of interest. Do you think it's necessary for creatives to understand that on their own, even while having a lawyer?
I mean, I was actually interested in law when I was younger, but I just didn't have the, what's the word now? The concentration.
You just didn't want to read books.
Yes. I didn't have the concentration.
You just wanted to talk,
I always understood a bit about IP and things like that. But yes, what was the question that you see now? My concentration. God.
I say,
I'm a presenter. No, sorry, I just talk a lot.
Is it important for creatives to know one or two things about
them? Yeah, I would say yes. It's, I don't think it's a requisite, but it's important for you to know certain things and certain lingo so that they don't go and sell you out. Like, it's very simple. They could just use this jargon, some English, and you won't know. You say, okay, yeah, I'll do it. I guess it sounds okay. So I think you should just be knowledgeable to an extent.
Okay, so while wrapping up, I'll just maybe dig a little bit deeper. We're always saying, okay, you need a lawyer. My lawyer will do this. My lawyer will do that. For the sake of those who listen, that will be questioning themselves, what is my lawyer even doing for me? What is he even doing? It's not just paperwork. If I have contract, I don't have contract. Nobody's giving me anything for you to read. What is your lawyer doing for you?
Well, my lawyer is looking over my contracts and agreements with people that want to hire me for my services. So that's TV presenting, acting, and also the property, the IP side. So I said I have a children's book. So they're going to be looking into trademarking things like the name of the book, which is Ariella and the Talking Drum.
Make sure you get it if you haven't got it.
Thanks for the plug. Yeah, things like that. And then also, so for example, now the documentary, making sure the talent release forms are signed so that nobody can come and tell me later, oh, you know, you can't use my image on your on your program. And that would be a mess because, you know, you've already edited and you might have already given it to a network or a streaming service and they just tell you can't use it. So things like that those are the services they're going to be rendering. Oh, they are rendering, sorry.
Now I've heard it, guys. So if you're asking yourself that question, stop asking. Now you know.
This is not really a question, right? But I think people don't realize as well that apart from just contracts, you can actually ask your lawyers for advice. So let's say you want to do something in future. You can ask, can I do this? Like, these are the contracts on ground. Will I be allowed to? And sometimes that advice can stop you from getting into unnecessary trouble.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's not just paperwork. Sometimes that advice is is worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I'm always picking your brain. She's part of the people, the freelance lawyers, right? That I'm always harassing. Look,
gladly, but my problem is I don't have time. Like, I would love, but my own is Steph needs someone 24/7. Yeah. If she needs you, boom. I mean, I have a lot going on, but I hope to get to that, you know, that space where I can take on, you know, clients and have them embodied into what I'm doing. So hopefully in a few years, I'll be able to do that. But I mean, regardless, I'm always going to be here for my people. You know, if they have questions, always.
But no, it's definitely important. Yeah, no, that's definitely one of the important things, is the advice that a lawyer can give you. So you do stop yourself. And also when things happen, you know, we're in the limelight, you know, so things happen, you know, you might end up on a blog. What can you do? You know, like, well, okay, can I get them to pull this down? This is defamation of character. And this is not true. It's slanderous. It's going to hurt other things that I have going on.
You throwing stuff like legal that. Jargon.
You see, you. So,
it's
yeah.
It's not too late to go to law school. It's not.
You know, I might be one of those people, you know, in the 40s. Yeah. And I'll be like, okay, you know what? I just want to do this.
Do it.
It's very interesting.
Do it. But be prepared. We have a whole episode on Nigerian law school. Maybe you should listen to that first.
I mean, maybe not Nigerian law school, because I don't think I have the energy or the stamina. I don't even know. Is a lot. Well done to you guys.
Whenever I think about Nigerian law school, I remember the video that surfaced last day. The guy in the shower that I was reading on what I was for.
Oh, wow. You see? He's going to have PTSD from that now.
So guys, we're coming to the end of this episode. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation so far. And this is not the end of it. Keep the conversation going on social media. If you have any question, come into our DMs. We'll answer you in the comment section and all of that. But before we go, Steph, there's something we usually do. Legal takeaway of the day. But considering you're not a lawyer, we'll say creative takeaway of the day. One or two things. Just drop one quote for us. One industry practice. One life rule. One anything. Something a takeaway for us. Yeah. Something important that your fans, your supporters and fans anything. Can take away.
What, you know, something you live by, something you wish you thought, like just anything that we should take away.
It's one thing I'm always saying is you should dot your I's and cross your T's. It's very important. Make sure everything is checked off, especially from a legal standpoint, because don't just go onto a set and say that, okay, you know, I'm already here. We've already done makeup. Let me just do it. I'll sign the contract afterwards. It's better you do that before, because if you don't and there's something in there that your lawyer says later, okay, this is wrong. You've already done the job. You've already signed. There's nothing. You can't back out of it. They've already got your image. So, you know, you definitely make sure you get things ticked off sooner rather than later.
Wow, that's powerful.
See, wow. I think we're going to find a third host, a creative host to join the Legal Avenue podcast.
Oh my goodness.
But no, honestly, it's been amazing having you. And yeah, of course, you're somebody that we know and we respect, and we look forward to seeing all the new amazing things you have in store. And thank you for appreciating and knowing the value of lawyers. A lot of the time, you know, we're overlooked. People want to bring down like our services, what are you doing self? So it's nice to hear from somebody that isn't a lawyer how important lawyers are. And lawyers specific to your needs and your field. So we didn't say it. It's Steph that said, find a lawyer. And she said, pay them well. I think she said that.
Yeah, I did.
Did she say that?
Yes, ₦5. If you get a ₦5 lawyer, you know what you're going to get. You know the services they're going to render.
She said the more expensive they are, the better.
Oh my God. Now people are going to be like, please don't mind that girl.
All right, guys. Disclaimer. Nothing discussed here constitutes legal advice. It's strictly for educational purposes and entertainment purposes. Our views are our own, and please always consult, Steph has already said it, always consult a legal practitioner within your field, within your industry, and pay them well.
Within your budget.
Don't go and say Stephanie says
I like what you
say
before.
Billionaire lawyer.
I'm not changing out to within
to go and increase her fees.
Cut your clothes according to your size. Thank you.
Yes, now. All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging with us today. Until next time, keep showing love, keep showing us support, and follow us on social media, Legal Avenue Podcast, and Steph
at Stephanie Coker.
Let Steph sign out. Just sign us out, the Legal Avenue Podcast.
Oh, wow.
Go on. Do us the honors.
Okay, well, thank you so much, guys, for listening to the Legal Avenue Podcast with Lola, OJ, and Mandy. And I am their host for today's episode, Stephanie Coker. Make sure you follow me on Instagram at Stephanie Coker, and of course, at the Legal Avenue Pod. All right. Well, we'll see. Well, they'll see you next time.
I told you she wants to be the third. Oh, she said, I'll see you. So guys, if you see Steph every week, just know she said
it's
it.
It's our new sign out.
Oh my gosh. Bye, guys.